Let's turn to John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13, we're going to review just a little bit from last week as we move on today. And we're considering the question that seems very elementary to you and I, who is Jesus? Now we could say who was Jesus, but that wouldn't be grammatically correct because he isn't a was, he's an is. He wasn't the great I was, he's the great I am, so he always is. So we could say who was Jesus, but you understand we're saying who is Jesus. But even those during his day, in Bible days, there was much confusion over who he was. We looked at that last week. We looked at John chapter 8 where the Pharisees said, "We be not born of fornication." So in Jesus' day there were those that just blasphemed him. There was those that just disregarded him as completely unworthy of anything. There are many today that do the same thing. They might not verbally say something like, "We're not born of fornication, we're not illegitimate children like you are," again, misunderstanding the concept of Joseph and Mary. Many might not say that today, but still they're just as blasphemous in their attitude toward Jesus Christ. They demean him just as much, many using him nothing more than a byword or a cuss word or a phrase to spice up their sentence. And may I remind you, that is blasphemy. When someone says, "Oh, Jesus Christ," not in prayer, but you just using that phrase, that is what the Bible calls using God's name in vain. And we live in a society where even Christian people, you know, there's things that I've... You can do something. I used to play racquetball quite a bit, and I would say things when things didn't go right, and I would never say bad things, but I'd say, "Oh, geez," and people that were around me didn't know what I was saying. They're used to hearing "Oh, Jesus," so they just assume it's the right thing. So you've got to be careful what you say, even when you're not saying the wrong thing, to be likened with the wrong group. And so we need to be very careful. The name of God is a very holy name. It's a very righteous name. There were those that thought that he was nothing more than a fornicator. We saw there were some that said in Matthew 27 verse 63, when they wanted to seal the tomb, they said, "We remember that deceiver said when he was yet alive." So there were those that referred to him as nothing more than a deceiver. The high priest one time said, "Oh, I remember when another man led many people out into the wilderness, and if this Jesus is like him, it'll come to naught." They didn't attribute to him who he really was. They said he's nothing more than a deceiver. There are many people today that don't believe Jesus Christ is the right thing. And eternity depends on believing the right thing about Jesus Christ. You can't be saved and believe he's nothing more than a deceiver and believe he's a deceiver. I mean, it just can't happen. There were those, again, we saw Matthew 13, verse 55, that said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" In Luke 4:22, they said, "Joseph's son." And there are some that ascribe to Jesus nothing more than the average humanity possessed by you and I. Now again, we understand Jesus Christ was 100% human and 100% God at the same time. So he was 100% human, but can I say this? He wasn't human like you and I. Now, he was, but he wasn't. You say, "That doesn't make sense." It's not supposed to make sense. It's God. But he was 100% human just like you and I, yet at the same time being 100% God. You're not. You're 100% human, and that's as far as it goes. He had the mixture of humanity and deity in him, but he was 100% human, and yet these people prescribed to him nothing more than his humanity. They simply said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" We saw Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 2 that simply said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Now we're climbing the ladder. We're getting up there where at least he's getting some respect. And you say, "Well, that's a good thing." Well, there are many people that believe he's simply a teacher. The Muslims believe that he's a teacher come from God. They will put him on equal plane with any of the great prophets. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Well, some of you say you're Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead." There are many that will ascribe to him as being a great prophet or a good teacher come from God. But you know what Jesus told Nicodemus? Even though Nicodemus believed he was a teacher come from God, Jesus said, "You must be born again." What he believed about Jesus was not enough. Though he ascribed to him a teacher come from God, and no one could do these miracles except God be with him, it wasn't enough. We saw the centurion at the cross in Matthew 27 and verse 54. And that centurion looked up at him after seeing him in agony and crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it is finished. That centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. A great statement. A great declaration. A great truth. You say, but was he saved? Don't know. Because the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. The demons, when Jesus came to cast them out of a man, the devil said to him, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of God? They believe he's the Son of God. There are many people that academically and intellectually understand the Bible teaches Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At Christmas time, there's a lot of people who say, oh, Jesus is the Son of God. But is that enough? Just simply attesting, I believe he's the Son of God, won't get anybody into heaven. It matters what you believe about Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, everybody believes in Jesus. Well, it depends on what you believe. Yeah, everybody believes he's either born of fornication, or he's the carpenter's son, or he's a deceiver. Everybody believes something about him. But it matters what you believe. That brings us here to John chapter 13, again, which is still something we looked at last week, but we want to start there. In John 13 and verse 13, Jesus said to his disciples, all 12 of them gathered at the table with him, he said to them, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. Those 12 disciples sitting around with him right here as he had just washed their feet. He says to those 12, you call me Master and Lord, and I am. Now you remember, we won't take time to go there, but back in Luke chapter 5, where the Lord told Peter, throw out the nets and bring in a great draught. When the Lord said it, he said, Master, we've toiled all the night, but Master, at thy word I will throw out the nets. He called him Master. By the time it was all over and they pulled in the great bundle of fish, Peter said to Jesus, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. His first meeting with Jesus, he recognized him as Master. By the time the story's over, he called him Lord. We looked at the story of the centurion coming to Christ and saying, as the disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the other disciples could not heal him, and the man cried out to Jesus and said, I brought this my son, to be healed, and my disciples could not heal him. And by the time Jesus healed his son, when it was all over, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord. He went from Master to Lord. There's a graduation point in understanding who Jesus was. When he first called those 12 men from their occupations to serve him, they knew nothing more than he was a teacher sent from God. He was a master. He was someone special. But they didn't understand really who he was. They had to figure that out as they sat under his teaching. And we see them one at a time coming to the point where they graduate from Master to Lord, except for one of them. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Again, Jesus sitting around the table with his 12 disciples here at the Last Supper. He tells them, one of you is going to betray me. One of the disciples, John, who's leaning closest to Jesus, said, Lord, who is it? He knew it wasn't him. But he said, Lord, who is it? But the other disciples, it says in verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Peter and James, Bartholomew, all these begin to say, as the Lord says, one of you is going to deceive me. John says, Lord, who is it? And the others puzzled say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Well, we find in verse number 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Jesus said in John 13, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. He was the Lord of 11 of those men, but he was only the master of one of them. It matters what we believe about Jesus Christ. You've got to go beyond his humanity. You've got to go even beyond his deity as far as the Son of God and recognize that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 23 and see how the Bible makes this very clear. Luke chapter 23. You know the story of the thieves, the two thieves on the cross, one on either side of Jesus. And as he's crucified, one of them begins to, well, both of them mock and rail, but eventually one of them recognizes that that there's something different about Jesus. And in Matthew, in Luke chapter 23, in verse 40, the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. Again, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I mentioned last week that there's nothing wrong with the name Jesus. It is the name of God's Son. But remember, it is a human name. In Latin American countries, the name Jesus is very common. And people that talk about Jesus, 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 it's the Lord Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. I did this many years ago. I went through the Bible. And if I can explain this correctly, no one ever addressed Jesus Christ by his name, Jesus only. Okay? No one ever addressed Jesus Christ by his name. It was either Jesus of Nazareth, or Lord Jesus, or Jesus Christ. It's always referred to. Now you say, "Wait a minute, and Jesus went here, and Jesus did this." Well, that's the Holy Ghost recording the activities and actions of Jesus. So if you can separate this in mind, when you look at your Bible next time, realize, but when someone spoke to him or addressed him, an individual, a human, not the Holy Ghost saying to the writer, Matthew or Mark, "Here, write that Jesus did this," but someone humanly addressing him, they never just called him Jesus. The human name was not enough. And so those today talking about Jesus, you know, everybody's singing about heaven ain't going there. That's one of the old Negro spirituals. And everybody talking about Jesus doesn't know him. We need to know him as Lord. And this thief dying on the cross, and said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me." Now, this is going to be a hard day for new Bible versions, because my morning message in this. Whenever you start teaching on Bible doctrine, you find out the new Bible versions really have a problem. Right now we're emphasizing that Jesus Christ has to be Lord. Now I'm not talking about the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ. If you've ever heard that, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, that's not biblical stuff. But having to recognize him for who he is. He's not the carpenter's son. He's not a teacher come from God. He is the Lord. And being required to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And here he says unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me." The New Bible version, verse 42, simply said, "And he said unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And they take out the word Lord right there. That is his salvation. They do the same thing over in Acts chapter 9 when the apostle Paul gets saved. Remember Paul, "I thought I should do many things against this Jesus of Nazareth." There's his humanity. Giving his testimony in Acts 22, he said, "I thought I should do many things against this Jesus of Nazareth." But in Acts chapter 9, what is he calling him there on the road to Damascus? "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That though there's 23 words, I think it is, right there, taken out of the New Bible versions, where he addresses Jesus as Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And it's taken out of there. That is a key doctrine of the Bible. So we need to know, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I think we might have looked at this last week. But let me emphasize this too. Someone could hear this lesson and say, "All right, I want to go to heaven. I'll call Jesus Lord. I'll just say he's Lord." Well, there's some other people that did that. They knew the truth, they knew he was Lord, and they called him that, but they still didn't get into heaven. We find that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, where Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are some that say the name Jesus with their mouth, but they're not saved. Because believing with the mouth, confessing with the mouth, believing with the head doesn't work. The confession of the mouth has to come from the heart, not from the head. They have to know Jesus as Lord. There are many that can use Him to promote themselves, use Him to better their cause, and use His name and toss it around in the right way. But it's not the right name. Look at Luke chapter 6. I don't have the reference down. I saw this near the end of Luke 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, just using your mouth to say it is not the same as believing it in your heart. You know, it's like the plan of salvation. We know that all you've got to do to get saved is pray a prayer. It's not a work, it's not baptism, it's not commandments, it's not church membership, it's none of that. It is just turning to Christ from your heart. And there's no set formula. You know, gospel tracts have a little prayer on the back. It's a suggested prayer for somebody to pray, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, Peter said, Lord, save me. And the Lord delivered him out of the water there. It doesn't have to be some theological, elegant prayer. It's just the cry of the heart. But it's got to be the cry of the heart, not the cry of the head. It's got to be sincere. Someone can come to this church and respond at the end to an invitation and come down here and go through all the motions and pray and ask Christ to come into their heart. But if it's not sincere down here, it didn't do anything. Heaven didn't pay any attention to it. The angels rejoice over one sinner that repents, but one sinner that comes down and prays a prayer and is not sincere, nothing goes on in heaven over that. So it's not just saying the name of Lord, and yet you've got to get to the point. Somebody's got to understand Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just human. He's not even just divine. He is the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You know this verse. Eventually, everybody is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care about the most vile, sinful, depraved human being that ever existed, the most godless person. Let's say in our day, the top atheist, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, these that just vehemently deny that there's even a God. One of these days, those men are going to get on their knees and call Jesus Lord. And there ain't a thing in the world they can do to stop it. Yeah, they can put out their books now and give their speeches and sell their tickets to come, people to come and hear them, and they can do anything they want to in this age of grace. They can vilify God any way they want to, and God just tolerates it, and God allows it. But God, if we could say it this way, just got a little grin on His face because He's looking down saying, buddy, either you right now acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, or you can do it later on. Philippians chapter 2 is talking about Jesus Christ in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ was God, made in our likeness. He came down to earth. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You can either acknowledge Him as Lord now or acknowledge Him as Lord later. You can acknowledge Him now where you have the opportunity to acknowledge Him for eternal life, Or you can acknowledge him at that great white throne of judgment where your opportunity for eternal life is over. But he's still going to be acknowledged as Lord by every tongue. Every human being is going to acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. So who is Jesus? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse in Philippians here tells us in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All right, who is Jesus? He is the Lord of glory. But there's something very special about him. There's something very different about him. Yes, he was human. He was a human being. He was born of Mary, and his body was cradled in her hands in the manger. But when she held that little baby in her hands and she was holding the human life that she had brought forth, she was also holding in her hands the God of creation, the God of eternity past. Now that just blows your mind. So I said, well, how could that be God if he's still up to... I don't know. You're telling me that when Mary looked into that baby and she looked into those eyes, she was seeing God in the flesh. Absolutely, that's what the Bible says. Well, it doesn't make sense. I don't care. I figured out a long time ago that if I tried to figure out God, I'd blow my brains out. Because his ways are not like my ways, his thoughts are not like my thoughts, his ways and thoughts are higher. And if you only believe about God what you can understand, you'll end up in a cult. Because that's the theme of what they do. That's why the Jehovah Witnesses steal so many Baptist converts. They get somebody that gets saved on door-to-door visitation or comes to church and gets saved, and before they can grow, and before, I don't know how the devil does it, how he knows it, but you just watch somebody get saved, and that week, a Jehovah Witness will show up knocking on their door. They haven't been in that house in 20 years, but that week after he gets saved, somehow they know to hit that door. And they get in there and they say, we can teach you Bible and feed you Bible. And being newly saved, they're hungry for Bible. And they just go in there and just make a mess out of the whole thing. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Talking now about the deity of Christ. Not just a babe in a manger, but God in a human body. Beyond our understanding. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, who is that Word? Verse 14 says, and the Word, same thing, capital W, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The end of verse 17 declares who that is. Jesus Christ. So that Word, capital W, that became flesh, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that Word is Jesus Christ. So back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead. We know it as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, 1 John 5:7, these three are one. Not one in essence, they're one in being. They're one. We can explain it in human terms, but it still doesn't fulfill the whole thing. I am a body, soul, and spirit, but I'm not three people. I'm created in the image of God. Therefore, I'm a tripartite being. I have three parts, body, soul, and spirit. But I'm only one person. There's not three of me here. And if somehow I were to be able to reach into myself and bring my soul out and stand it here next to me, you still wouldn't be looking at two people. You'd be looking at two manifestations of the same person. And if not only I could take my soul, but take my spirit and stand it over on this side and show you the three parts that make up me, body, soul, and spirit, and put them here, if I was able to do that, which I'm not able to, you would not be looking at three people. You'd be looking at three manifestations of me, one person. Thus it is with God. He is God, and the Father, and the Son is here, and the Holy Ghost is there, and they are not three separate persons. They are one God. And so when Jesus Christ came down to this earth, he was, I don't want to say spun off of God. 1 Corinthians 15, or 58, is it? where God was God in eternity past, and He sent His Son into this world. There was a separation, so to speak, where God reached in Himself, brought out that soul, brought out that Son, and sent Him down to the earth. It's not a creation, it's an eternal being. Always been there. But the Bible says the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's talking about the Word, Jesus. He is God in a human body. The Jehovah Witness New World Translation in verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They had that one little letter. The Word was a God. So there are many gods. Jesus was a lesser God. That's not the Bible teaching. And somebody that says, well, Jesus was a lesser God, one day is going to stand before that Jesus. That Jesus who is God. And Jesus is going to say to them, who did you say I was? I said you were a lesser God. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It matters who we think Jesus Christ is. He is God in a human body. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. When Joseph found out Mary was with child, he thought about taking her away privately to stone her. And the angel appeared to him to explain things to him. He says in verse 20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is God with us. His name was to be called Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. That little baby was God in a human body. It'll send shivers down your spine. We were leaving the church here late last night, going up toward downtown, and they have a manger scene. You know, with all the people, the buses coming in, they'll look at the lights at the courthouse and the Dickens characters and all that. Now right on the corner there, they've got a manger scene. And people walk around, I don't know who's doing it, but people walk around all dressed. And there as we drove by, there was Mary. There was the lady playing Mary sitting there in the corner holding the little baby. And when you look at that baby and realize that was God in a human body. When you understand the concept of that, it'll just blow your mind. That God allowed Himself to be confined and restricted to a human body like that. He said, well, wasn't He up in heaven? Yes, He was still up in heaven controlling everything, because if He wasn't, nothing would be here. If He still wasn't up in heaven, I mean, everything's held together by the word of His power. If He wasn't up there overseeing everything, He's not a God that created it and then just sits back and watches it tick. He's a God that's intimately involved with everything that happens in it. And He has to be up there. And yet at the same time, He in the person of His Son was inside that little baby, wrapped inside those swaddling clothes being held by Mary. Again, I just tell you the way it is. I don't tell you how I understand it. But that baby was Jesus. He is God with us. Look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The same argument where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and they said, we be not born of fornication. They couldn't out-argue Him. They couldn't out-talk Him. I love the places in the Bible where it says that they tried to dispute with Him to confound Him with their words. And I always laugh every time I read that. That they were going to try to out-argue the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the one in another place the Bible says, and He knowing their thoughts. I mean, how are you going to out-argue somebody that already knows what you're thinking before you know you're thinking it? So here in John chapter 8, the Pharisees are trying to put Him in His place and out-argue Him and out-debate Him. And he said, and of course they claim Abraham as their father. And he says to them in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, you know what he says now, I am. Why did he say those two words? Why three little letters. Why would he say I am? Why didn't he say something profound? Why didn't he say something convicting? Why didn't he show his power, his might? Well, you know why he said I am. Because when Moses was at the burning bush and he said, who shall I tell the children of Israel sent me? What is your name? God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel, Jehovah, said, tell them that I am has sent you. I am that I am. So when Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, there was no mistaking to those Jews what he was saying. We know that because of verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. Why were they going to stone him for saying, I am? Because he is a man, made himself God. Jesus said, I am. He was God in a human body. Look here in John chapter 10. And verse number 30. John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said to another group arguing with him, I and my Father are one. What did they do in verse 31? The Jews took up stones again to stone him. They knew what he was saying. They knew what he was claiming. He was claiming to be God in a human body. Folks, you understand, Muhammad is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Oh, Muhammad's a great prophet and Jesus was a great prophet. No, Muhammad is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. In fact, you want a deceiver? He's the guy. Jesus Christ was God in a human body. Look at John chapter 14. The Bible is very clear about this in numerous occasions, in numerous places. Jesus was not hesitant to declare it. Before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 14, Philip says in verse 8, Lord, I like how he addresses him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You can't separate the two. I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. When you looked at Jesus Christ in the flesh, you were looking at God the Father. John chapter 20. I've told you that a lot of the new versions like to mess with the key doctrines of the Bible. And even the New World Translation of the Jehovah Witnesses in John 1 that say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was a God. If you're ever talking with a Jehovah Witness and they get John 1:1 to you, take them to John 20:28. Because in John, look at verse 27, then saith Jesus to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. The New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses has that verse intact. They couldn't even mess with it. Thomas bowed down before Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. Now, they'll try to explain it by saying he's a lesser God, but that's a capital G. That's God. One more verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. See, that's what we've been talking about. He was God in a little human body, yet He was still God in heaven controlling everything. That's a mystery. It's the mystery of godliness. There are seven mysteries in the Bible. This is one of them. The mystery of godliness. How could God be two places at one time? How could He be up there in heaven running everything and yet be inside the body of that little child and be the Son? It's the mystery of godliness. You know what a mystery is? Something you can't figure out. That God understands, but you don't. Great is that mystery of godliness. Notice this. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. All right, when? In whom? Well, it says, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Now that pretty well tells us who it is. Believed up on the world, received up in the glory. That only describes one person. That's Jesus Christ. And this verse said, God was manifest in the flesh. Again, all the New Bible versions take out the word God out of that verse and put He to make it, all right, who? He was manifest in the flesh. No, God was manifest. Again, the verses they mess with are the ones on doctrines, the ones that are very key to what we believe. And there's a reason for all that, and that's another story. But God was manifest in the flesh. Who was Jesus Christ? He is God from heaven, come down to earth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe the right thing about Him, you can't trust Him for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so it does matter what we believe. Now again, the requirement is not academically saying, okay, I know this and I know this. It's believing. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Who is Jesus? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for the Bible and its clarity. Father, how it explains to us exactly who Jesus Christ is so that it's not left to us, Father, to hear the opinions of men and the viewpoints of religion. Father, we're thankful for a book that makes it very clear and tells us exactly who Jesus Christ is. And Father, we're thankful to know that truth and know we're saved and know we're going to heaven. We pray, Father, You'd bless Your word to each and every heart. Father, help us to be confirmed in the things that we believe. And Father, be sure of them and be a witness and a testimony to others in these areas. Father, bless Your word. Bless our morning service. Be with those that are driving in to be with us. Give us a great day. May Your spirit be with, may Your presence be with us. We have a good spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got about 12.